We come to a few moments to share together in a message today. As I was thinking about the message series for this particular Advent season, I decided to return to a very, very simple theme, which is, of course, when Jesus comes. I mean, Jesus, we are celebrating his birth. We know that it took place already very many years ago. But as we think about it, as we think about the celebration of the birth of Jesus, we think about the reality of his coming. And so each message this month will begin with this idea that says, when Jesus comes. And today, of course, when Jesus comes, hope is here. I want to encourage you for just a moment to think a little bit about your personal testimony. I want you to remember for just a moment what life was like for you before you met Jesus Christ. Before you came to a place where you said, Lord Jesus, I understand that I'm a sinner. I agree that my sin and understand that my sin has brought separation between me and the living God. And because of that, I do not have the hope of everlasting life. But Lord Jesus, I also know and believe that you died for me. That when you went to the cross and when you gave your body and your blood, you gave it as a sacrifice that I might receive forgiveness of sin. And so, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe with my whole heart that you died for me, and on the third day you rose again from the dead. And because of that, I commit myself to you, and I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Now, for a person to proclaim their belief and their condition as a Christian, some kind of a statement just like what I said needs to have happened in your life. There needs to be a time of being born again, having understood that you were dead in your sins and your trespasses, and that you needed forgiveness of your sin, and then you came to place your faith in Jesus and received him as your Savior. There needs to be that born again opportunity, that born again moment. For you today, I trust, even as you came to the Lord's table, you were reflective of that. But in your own life and in your own experience, what was your life like before your born again experience? What were you doing? What were your attitudes? What were your habits? What was life? Now, it might have been pretty simple and straightforward, and you seemed like a very normal person, working, going home, taking care of family, managing things, and all of that sort of thing. And for many of us, most of us, perhaps it was like that. But in some cases, even more severely, we were involved in those things that were not pleasing to God. And we came to an understanding, no matter who we were, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That not one of us, whether we looked like we were a normal person, and understand when I say that, that there is this expected way that life should go, right? And we raise up our kids hoping that they're going to take steps in that expected way that life should go. And usually that includes, finishing school, whether you go to college or not, but entering into the workforce and figuring out how to take care of yourself, okay? And most of us do that. We figure out how to take care of ourselves and we move forward. But no matter who we are, whether we are one of those people who kind of follows the traditional path, or whether we're a person who demonstrated much more severity and even outward evidence of rejection and rebellion against God. No matter who we were, we needed Jesus. We needed Jesus. to be born again. We needed to come into a relationship with the living God who loves us and who provides for us everlasting life. Because no matter who you are, you need forgiveness of sin. You need Jesus. And Jesus is our hope. Just want to reflect for a brief moment. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." No one means no one, because we all need that relationship with Him through which we are able to enter into the presence of a perfect, holy, living Father who cares for us and who meets us where we are and forgives us our sin and gives us the hope of everlasting life. Living water, if you will. But as we think about this morning, before you met Jesus, life was different. Life was different. And for some, you came to a place where you really understood your hopeless condition. I hope every one of us understood the hopelessness of trying to be good or please God without the help of the work of Christ and the saving grace of His poured out blood for us. I hope we all understand that. But in all of our lives, what was our hopelessness? What was your hopelessness? I hope that each one of you can say, "I came to the place where I understood that by myself I was not able to be the kind of person to live and do the kinds of things that would bring glory and pleasure and honor to my Heavenly Father, because I was unworthy. But Jesus died for you, and because of that, we now have the promise of hope." That hope, of course, began long before, but let's bring it here to this place of the birth of Jesus Christ. There had been a hope for a Messiah for many, many years. There had been a hope in the life of the Jewish people. All of Israel was looking for the promised Messiah, the one who would come, the anointed one who would be their king. And they had made all kinds of plans and had all kinds of dreams about what that king would be like. And the thing that I have heard all of my life is that most all Jews and most all of Israel as a whole had this plan and this idea that when the Messiah came, he would provide a great, powerful, military-style victory. And there was a spirit about that. You even see it in the disciples as they walked with Jesus, as they followed him. You see it in the disciples as Peter was so ready to pull out a sword or a knife and cut off the ear of the one who was there to arrest Jesus, one of the soldiers. They were so ready to stand at the side of Jesus and fight and be in a military fashion victors, because they knew that their king had come. But that's not how Jesus presented himself. And perhaps if we understood it on the spiritual level, that's indeed what he has done, but that is not what he came to do in the flesh. That's not what he came to do by the flesh. And so we see that the Lord Jesus came as a baby, an infant who was born in a humble stall, a place that was not really prepared for childbirth, not really designed for childbirth, right? But a place that was humble in every way. He came to as the child who would be raised by humble parents. Mary, who had been kept a virgin until after he was born, and had been found to be the right person, the right young girl, for God to send his spirit and cause her in a miraculous way to become pregnant and to bear the Son of God. And Joseph, a patient man, a worthy man, a careful man, to also listen to the voice of the Lord and be obedient to Him. There was hope in that. There was hope in that. And when Jesus comes, hope is here. In Romans, and let me just admit to you that in the office I gave verbally the passage of Scripture. And I said Hebrews. I meant Romans. So if you're turned to Hebrews already in your Bible, because that's what it says in your bulletin, it's Romans. The numbers are right. Romans 15. If, in fact, you probably figured it out already because you discovered that Hebrews doesn't have 15 chapters. Romans does. But Romans chapter 15, we're going to read just a couple of verses from there because it speaks to us about the hope that was for everyone. In Romans chapter 15, and we're going to read beginning in verse 12. It's a portion where the Apostle Paul is reiterating some things that were from prophecy, but here we're going to pick it up in verse 12 and then read through 13, and it says, "And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will appear, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles, and the Gentiles will hope in him." Now aren't you glad that the Gentiles also hope in him? "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, this is our foundation for today. We are the children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and because of that, we have this wonderful hope that is intended to overflow through us by the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, I'd like to spend just a few minutes and identify a number of things that are very helpful and careful for us to understand where that hope is from and what that hope does. And so we're going to take a fast travel through a number of verses. I already shared with you from John 3:16 that it is God's love that has been the source and the purpose of that. But now let me share with you that our hope is a saving hope. When Jesus comes, hope is here, and our hope is a saving hope. In Romans 8:24, the scripture says, "Now in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees?" Now, I've always said that when we talk about hope in regard to the relationship we have with Christ, that it is not a hope that is a wondering, "I hope maybe," but it is a hope that is sure. It is a hope that we have confidence in. It is a hope that we know is come about because of who Jesus is and because of what he has already done. And therefore, our hope is a saving hope. Our salvation is in the hope of what Christ Jesus has done. "And now in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? But we have a confidence in that which Jesus has done." And then in Romans 8:25 it says, "Now if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience." You love that word, with patience, right? When Jesus comes, hope is here. Jesus has come. We celebrate, even this month, his birth. The next thing we want to remember is that our hope is not only a saving hope, it is a living hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the scripture says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Do you catch that? It is from both the birth of Christ that we celebrate in this time of Christmas, all the way to the resurrection of the dead. Our hope is sure and secure because of the resurrection. We are able to proclaim boldly and loudly that Jesus is alive, not only because he was born, But because he became the sacrifice for our sin, and now today he is alive, even after the sacrifice being raised from death. We rejoice in that, and we know that we have that hope, that living hope. So our hope is also a living hope. Our hope also brings joy. I'm going to read this verse from Romans 5:2, and it doesn't even use the word hope, but it says this: we have also obtained access through him by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we boast, it does use the word hope, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. And therefore we have joy. We are filled with joy because of the hope of the glory of God. Our hope brings joy. Number four, our hope is glorious. Our hope is a glorious experience. In Colossians 1:27, the scripture says, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles, meaning he wanted you and me to know. He wanted you and me to know. He wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when Jesus comes, there is hope. Hope is here because Christ is in you. Because of who you were before, you came to a place of hopelessness. But with Christ in you, when you invited him in to be your Savior, to be your Lord, to dwell within you, and to infuse you as he is the vine and we are the branches, he has given us a hope, the hope of glory, which is mysterious, but is the reality of Christ being in us and accomplishing the purposes of God, even as given from the very beginning. And then in 1 Peter 3:15, our hope is worth telling. Right? Our hope is worth telling. When you have good news, you want to tell it. You want to share it. You want other people to know. My kids called me from Texas this week, and they told me they had good news. The first part of the good news was that they had an offer on their house here in Spokane, and they hoped that it was going to close before too long. The second part of the good news came to me yesterday when he said, we made an offer on a house in Texas. Now, was that good for me? It kind of told me things seemed kind of permanent. They made an offer on a house in Texas. They wanted to tell it. It was news worth telling. That's the point. If we have good news, if we have hope, it is a hope that is worth telling others about, right? It is a hope that is important that others around us know about it, and those that we care about would know about the hope that we have because of Jesus. Our hope is worth telling. And if you don't hear anything else today, let me challenge you and encourage you in this. Tell of your hope this Christmas. You have your traditions at home that are so wonderful and enjoyed. Some of those traditions you carried from your grandparents through your parents and now to you and now even through your children. And your children are carrying those traditions on. But let me encourage you that if those traditions don't already include a strong telling of the hope that you have in Jesus Christ, then let me encourage you to do that. Christmas is a perfect time for remembering where you came from and how you came to Jesus and the difference that that makes in the way that you live your life today. I will challenge you and encourage you today. Use the Christmas hope as an opportunity to tell your story of how you came to Christ. There are people around you, either in your family or in your network of friends or perhaps someone at work who needs to hear of your story of where you were in your sins and your trespasses and how you came to place your faith in a Savior who forgave you of your sin, who loved you so much that he died for you, and that Savior came into the world first as God in the flesh of a little baby. Perhaps you'll find a new joy in Christmas by telling the hope you have. I encourage you in that. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Hope is worth telling. And then hope is a blessing. Hope is a blessing. You know, do you like being around people who are just kind of, life is miserable and terrible, and I'm hopeless, and you know, and you say, yeah, you are. That's not very much fun. But hope is a blessing. Hope is a blessing. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, we find these words. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The blessed hope, the hope that is a blessing, the hope that brings blessing, joy, life, everlasting forgiveness and peace, wonderful hope, as we wait for that blessed hope, which is a blessing. Let me challenge you, be a blessing with your hope because of Jesus. You might have a day that things just aren't going well. In fact, it might be Christmas Eve because you say, I'm just not ready. Some of you are going to say, I'm ready already. Bring it on. Right? Our Christmas tree's coming out of the garage tomorrow. No, today. It'll be up today. I just made my wife really happy. But we, as we celebrate Christmas, want to share the blessed hope that we have. And we want to be sure that others know. And that promise of the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then finally, you were saying, how many does he have? Our hope is a centering hope. It's a hope that keeps us steady. It's a hope that keeps us grounded. In fact, in Hebrews, there's our Hebrews verse today, Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, and it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. You see, we have this hope as a centering hope, an anchoring hope. And you see, our hope is not dropped to the bottom of the sea, grabbing a rock to hold on to. Our hope is cast into the heavens and grasping on to the truth of the saving grace and power of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not the first one to say that, but I found a bunch of guys that said it. And so I don't have to give credit, right? But it is a wonderful anchor that grips firmly the power of Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And it is anchored in that work of my Savior. We have a hope, and our hope is a centering hope. It keeps us grounded. It keeps us steady. And it helps us to move forward with joy and contentment, with peace, with a story that is worth telling, because he is a sure, solid rock upon which we can stand. How's your hope today? I want to encourage you. I want to urge you this month, live with hope, because that hope will never fail when placed in Jesus and when anchored to the rock of ages, who is our Savior, our King, our glory, our friend, the one who loves us so much. He is faithful. Our hope is a centering hope. What about you today? Are you able to speak of that day when you came to put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you can say, I was born again, I gave my life to Jesus, I received Him as my Savior and as my Lord, I asked Him for forgiveness of sin and He forgave me, and I committed my life to be a reflection of His power and His grace and His ongoing work through me. You see, this is what Jesus did for you. And why He came. Trust Him today. If you've never begun that life of hope, let it be today. Let it be today. Father, this morning we come and we give praise to You. And not only do we ask that anyone here who has not come to that place of finding the hope that's in Jesus, that today they would say, yes, Lord, I understand that You died for me. I recognize that You died for me because I was a sinner and I was separated desperately away from God. And Lord, I ask You now to forgive me of my sin. And because I understand what You have done, Jesus, through the shedding of Your blood poured out as an offering of sacrifice for me, for my sin, Jesus, I ask You, forgive me of my sin and give me the hope and promise of everlasting life. And Lord, today I commit myself to You. Thank You, Lord. And others, Lord, as we come, may just have come to a place in their life where things just seem out of kilter, just not really all that stable. Maybe they've allowed the anchor to get loose. Maybe they've allowed for other things of life to rob them of joy and hope. And even peace. And oh God, we come to You right now and we ask that for each of us in this room, we will be able to make renewed commitments that are a true reflection of what You have done and what You are doing and what You yet want to accomplish in our lives and then through our lives. Lord, help us to be yielded to You in such a way as to bring pleasure and glory to Your name. Thank You, Father. And we pray these things together in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Today, our song of response and commitment is an old Christmas carol. It's one that may be a little bit more obscure for some of you, but it says, Thou didst leave Thy throne and Thy kingly crown when You came to earth for me. The chorus of that verse says, Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for You. As we stand together and as we sing this, there may be some who have decisions they want to make even in a public way. And I'm going to be standing here and ready and eager to receive you, to pray with you, to encourage you. It may be that the particular decision of your heart and your life you need to share with your spouse or a friend or someone who is your great encourager in life. And perhaps you're even sitting with that person today and you can just lean over and say, you know, I need to make a fresh, renewed commitment to Jesus even today because I know there is hope in Him. I want to encourage you in that. In whatever way God wants you to respond to Him, let Him have His way. Thou didst leave Thy throne.